everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and this is episode number two, Eric, in our podcast, and we're here to discuss, every week we're going to talk about our review of the game tape. We run a column together that posts Tuesday morning online, and we'll have the podcast posting with it and discuss how we came to the conclusions we did. This week, the game was 27-10 Packers win over the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field. And of course, the thing that jumps out to everybody was the Packers run game, especially Aaron Jones. They stuck with it. AJ Dillon, they combined for 37 touches. But Eric, what's beyond that? We usually try to find something a little different to focus on. Beyond that, what jumped out was the Packers run defense. And you had an insight that we've focused the lead item about. Can you go into that a little bit? It's about Quay Walker and some of the struggles that he had stopping the run.
Thanks. They brought us back for a second time, Pete. So maybe now that we have visual, they will some pictures of us, that'll definitely change things. but really, the thing that sticks out to me was there were at times, especially in the fourth quarter, when they ran the ball pretty effectively. And so they added Quay Walker. They drafted another D tackle in the first round. So two defensive guys in this first round. They kept Campbell. They're able to keep Douglas. So on paper, the thought process was, and I think everybody thinks that this way, is that the defense was going to be better and they were going to stop the run better. Unfortunately, you had Campbell, who had some uncharacteristic missed tackles, and Quay Walker, who very speedy guy, and there's a lot being said about that play where he tackled Fields before reaching the end zone on the third down play. But there were a lot of times during the game where he was flat out of position. And one of the things for linebackers is that when the ball is going away from you, you have to scrape over the top or climb through the garbage, as coaches will say. You got to fight through that. And instead, he kind of goes backdoor. So instead of going over the top of, let's say, an offensive lineman, he is coming underneath him, which is causing some issues and not being able to get to the ball carrier in time.
Yeah, we found like four or five plays where he did that, and it was a difference between what could have been maybe a 4 yard run and a 12 yard run. So that's a difference between third and four or five and a first down and keeping the chains moving. So this is no small thing, because I mean, look who they're playing this week with Tampa. Tampa's gonna see this film. We're going to see a lot of Leonard Fournette right at the middle of the Packers defense, aren't we?
Yeah, and he's a load. He's not going to be someone that you can just arm tackle and get him to the ground. You're going to have to tackle him, probably pretty low. And the one thing about Quay Walker is he is fast and he is shifty, but he's not overly physical. And this is going to be a great test to see if he can learn from his mistakes. And a lot of times it's difficult because in college he probably didn't have to climb over the top of linemen. Going underneath was probably just good enough. But at this level, I mean, inches means everything. Look at just the game on last night, a couple inches and Fields got a touchdown on either one of those two plays at the end there. So one of the things that he's got to do is become more physical. And he has to be able to go over the top and through blocks to make it so they can cut down some of those 10, 12-yard runs into 3 or 5-yard runs.
Yeah, and as you described it, it was you go underneath and you're going too close to the line of scrimmage. And when he was in college, he was fast enough to do that where he could catch the running back. But in the NFL, that just ain't happening. These guys are too quick and too fast, and they're past him before he can get there. You go over the top. Yeah, you're making the tackle 4 yards downfield, but a lot better 4 yards than 11, let alone, 15 or 20. One thing I didn't ask you about that we didn't get into was, so – he hasn't been real physical, and even in the preseason games when he played a decent amount, he didn't look real physical. Do you think that can change? Can he become more physical as the career goes on, or is that kind of you are who you are?
Well, there's a lot. There's two schools of thought. A, if he wants to be an exceptional linebacker, he is going to have to go over the top, and he is going to have to get probably a little bit stronger than he is now, maybe add some pounds. But certainly, if he wants to take his game to the next level and utilize the speed that he has, getting it coming over the top of those blocks and stopping those runs is going to be vital. And the part where a lot of people don't understand is that is also vital to the passing game, because when running backs are going up the gut and they're going through A and B gap, and they're getting 10, 12 yards on a clip, those safeties, and you saw it last night, the Bears safeties were aggressively coming up to attacking the line of scrimmage. That's where plays can get behind you. And that's one of the things that's got to be worrisome to Barry, is going how we have to stop the run and contain those plays at the second level versus having safeties coming up and make plays, because that's going to open up the play action pass situations. And that's where you mess up on a play pass that can go over the top for six in a hurry. So it's going to be really important for them to get really, really, really sound pursuit out of Quay Walker. And Campbell can't have a tackling performance like he had last night.
Yeah. And, you know, my suspicion is, my suspicion is, you know, we were talking, you were saying that you thought it's probably an early season thing with Campbell. And my suspicion is that's right. I don't remember him having, you know, serious tackling issues last year. They don't tackle in training camp, so they don't get to practice real tackling. So, you know, it probably does take, it can take a couple of games for guys tackling. So, yeah, you got to suspect that one. He'll probably tackle better, but, you know, Walker will be really interesting to watch because they need him on the field. They need him to be a good player. He's a talented guy. But they, you know, if he's a liability in the run game, they're not that much better off than they were. You know, the advantages they still have is length and speed for pass coverage was really important in today's NFL, but they drafted him because they could have that plus the run stopping so they could play nickel and not worry about teams running the ball like the 49ers did on 3rd and 8 or whatever that was on the last play of the division, or one of the last plays of the division around the playoffs when they got the first down, Deebo Samuel. So
one of the things we saw last night, Pete, was they came out in several plays. I didn't count them, but I got a lot of plays where they came out in a nickel, but it had a base front and one linebacker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one thing to do against a running team is try to cover up guys so your linebackers are a little bit more free inside there. But I think long term that can cause some havoc, because now you got to drop a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times you got to drop one of the outside linebackers off to cover the flat, particularly on the weak side. So that's going to cause some problems as well if that's what they have to do. And I mean, you have to do it when you're inside the 20 and some of those things. I get that. But I think if they really want to play their nickel with two backers on there, that, you know, Walker's got to be more stout against the run.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because I didn't realize watching live, but they did play a fair amount of that 5-man front, you know, which is the base front, 3 defensive linemen, 2 outside linebackers, but then only 1 inside linebacker, who was Campbell, and then nickelback. I wonder if they thought Walker was having his struggles, so they decided to go that way rather than the nickel to have him out there to take him off the field in case it was a run. I wonder if that's what they were, that was part of the thinking there, because I don't remember him doing that much in the first half, but it was a lot more in the second half.
Yeah, and the other part too that I thought was interesting with their formations was they came out in a package where they had Walker line up on the outside backer. And I'm not sure if it's just because they don't feel – well, probably they don't feel like they have much depth at that position, and maybe utilize his speed to get after the quarterback. But I am going to be curious to see if we see that more as the season goes on, that particular package. And I think it will be very interesting – to see, because I believe with that kind of speed that they have to utilize him to get after the quarterback. Now, that's not really Barry's defense. They don't like to blitz a lot. They like to get after it with their guys with their hands in the dirt and the guys on the edge. But I think at some point for a wrinkle that we're going to start seeing that. If they do fire a backer, my guess is it's going to be 7 and not 59.
Yeah, that was 2 snaps, back-to-back snaps where Walker was lined up at outside linebacker. So something to watch for as the season goes on. We're running low on time here. Real quick, the other main item that we talked about was the Packers sprinkled in some of the power sweep. You know, it's not like we were watching, you know, Vince Lombardi and Horning and Taylor. But I think when I counted up, I think they did seven power sweeps. Now they do it using, you said, and you pointed out, and you're right, they pull the play side guard and the center. They're not pulling both guards like Lombardi used to. But it does seem to add a wrinkle. One of the 15-yard touchdown was on that too. What allows them to be able to run the power sweeps and to have that change up from, because they're a predominantly zone running team.
Correct. And they also run the power where they pull the tight end, or the tight end is in like a wing position. He comes jamming down there to kick out. And they like to do that. And then sometimes they'll run it where the wing or the tight end who's playing in the wing position is going to just come screaming down the line just to cut off the backside pursuit. And they run sweep the other way or outside zone the other way. But what allows them to get those power sweeps going where you have you're pulling the guard at the center, is you got to have linemen that are athletic and linemen that can move, and they have that, and they're utilizing it. And it's not very common where you can just pull a center and put him out there in a safety or an outside backer that's moving. So it takes a special lineman and a special breed of lineman to be able to do that and pull that off effectively.
Yeah. 6'5", Josh Myers. Yeah. 6'5", 310. That's big for a center. I think it was even Bakhtiari. You said, you know, when the guy showed up for his first OTAs, Bakhtiari was looking at him going, this guy's a center. Cause he was, you know, basically as tall as Bakhtiari. Anyway, we went a little overtime here, Eric, so we'll have to move on. But thanks everybody for coming by for the second installment of After Further Review podcast. We'll be here every week as a compliment to the column Eric and I do together. And next week, the Packers play at Tampa. So we'll be keeping an eye on Quay Walker and a lot of other things. And until next week, thanks everybody for joining us. And thanks, Eric, for your insights.
Thanks. Have a great night.